Jesus' parable of the lost sheep and the lost coin can seem quite reckless and troubling. The shepherd is prepared to abandon the rest of the sheep in the wilderness to search for the one that is lost. In his commentary on the text, Ian Alexander, Secretary of the World Mission Council of the Church of Scotland, says, "It's almost as though Jesus is saying that the sheep that are not lost can be legitimately exposed to risk for the sake of securing the one that has gone astray. This is a challenge for any congregation of God's people who believe that at some level the church exists for those who are outside its boundaries. A ministry focused on the outsider, the stranger, and indeed the parish may well invite opposition from insiders who believe that they have paid their ticket and that they do not deserve to be abandoned in the wilderness. The parables depict the extent of God's concern for all of God's people and reveal just how far God will go to search out and restore a relationship with those whom God loves. When one who is far away has been found, there's a reason to throw a party. Our dour Presbyterian tradition has often found it difficult to deal with the aspect of celebration that frequently crops up in Scripture. But even the angels would not wish to miss one of God's parties." I wanted to stifle a giggle as I first read Ian's commentary, because I knew we'd be looking at the story of the lost on Communion Sunday, when for some reason within the Church of Scotland tradition we've turned a meal of grace and joy into a moment of sombre respect, dour faces and dark clothing. But while that was the first thought, looking at the story, I wonder on which of the characters within the story we should focus our full attention. Is it the lost sheep, or the lost coin, or those who've been left behind, or the one who does the seeking? Perhaps it's all three. And if we take all three, what kind of emotions or feelings can we find within the story or within our understanding that would elucidate a more full picture of how we understand our relationship to God and to the world? The story tells us that the one who is seeking experiences great joy when they found what has been lost to them. The kind of joy that a party's thrown and everyone's gathered together. But what of those who are left behind? What of the one who's lost? Are those who are left behind to fend for themselves, safe and secure, self-righteous, that they're part of the group who remains? Luke's story puts an emphasis on the need to repent, to turn our lives around to God. It's an important emphasis, particularly when the parable suggests that those who have already been found are righteous. It's an emphasis that asks us to think about when our lives are truly righteous. It's the purpose of the story to remind us that God is continually searching for us, continually searching for all of humanity, continually searching because the world in which we live is full of the lost, and that we're in need of a continual refocus to look towards God as we participate in the reshaping of our world to a place where all are welcomed and know they belong. At a seminar I went to this week, I heard the statistic that people were 26% more likely to die if they experienced the feeling of loneliness for 8 years or more. Age and gender are not the defining factors, only the experience of loneliness. Over the course of the seminar, it was a constant reminder that loneliness isn't about being on your own. Instead, loneliness can be experienced as much by those who live in relationship to others as by those who live alone. In a document from the University of Chicago, loneliness is defined in its most broad concept as a distress that results from discrepancies between ideal and perceived social relationships. This so-called cognitive discrepancy perspective makes it clear that loneliness is not synonymous with being alone, nor does being with others guarantee protection from feelings of loneliness. Rather, loneliness is the distressing feeling that occurs when one's social relationships are perceived as being less satisfying than what is desired. It's a definition that reminds us that we can feel all alone in the midst of a crowded room, even when we enjoy those moments that we're by ourselves. We tend to think of loneliness as belonging to the elderly and the bereaved. But perhaps it's good to be reminded that people can feel lonely for all kinds of reasons. As human beings, we rely on an invisible network of relationships to support us and to remind us of our value and worth. People become isolated for all kinds of reasons. Poverty, poor housing, lack of income to socialise, all affect the network of relationships we form. The extended family doesn't always live locally, as people head further afield to find work and homes. And so the natural support networks of past generations have long since diminished. And the communities in which people live are not always perceived as being friendly and welcoming, because we choose to live as strangers to one another. The important need of someone to understand and to recognise our value and our worth can be lost, and without it, people feel alone. In a world where so many may seem lost to the world, what hope can faith offer? Perhaps the hope we offer as a faith community is that it is possible to build communities of care that are founded on more than biological familial tie. Perhaps we are to be reminded as we gather round the table this morning that we belong to the family of God. In sharing bread and wine, we participate in the celebration of heaven, knowing that God continually searches for us all. And when we're found, we turn our lives around to join the search for the lost, that they too may know they have a place in the embrace of God. That we too may know God's joy and celebrate. Here in a place where value and worth are restored and reminded and held on to. A place where we hope to build a new relationship with Christ's kingdom in our world. Of course, it never lingers here, for joy can only last a moment. There are no lifetime parties. Instead, the party sets us up for the journey, to head back out and look for those again who are lost to us, that they too might be told that they are worthy of God, they are valuable to the kingdom, and they belong in his presence. Amen.